Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is a new dawn. It is a new era. We are now Big Easy Wrestling, but I am still the Shipester, baby, with the main host,
Dustin Destruction. Wait, does anyone remember who you are? You haven't been on an episode since November.
Hi guys, I'm the Shipester. I'm back, baby.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, this is a new era. Like he said, Big Easy Wrestling, United by Wrestling, is dead as we know it. So no more Bruce Buffer. But the same hosts remain, and we are still your featured podcast of the evening. We are still your Call It In The Ring podcast, but we are now just under a new banner that fits more of our, personal
touch.
We wanted to put some personality into our show. Obviously, we don't sound like people from Louisiana.
Well, I kind of do.
So, yeah, I'm a West Coast guy from Oregon. I know Big Easy. You're probably like, what the hell? But
no, because I'm like, I got that voice. I can pass up. But we're actually not from Louisiana. But
just Louisiana, New Orleans especially has a special heart. It was the first time we met. Our first WrestleMania. So we figured, why not add that and to our, wrestling passion. United by Wrestling just got old, so that's why we're here. And indeed, this is now our new one. And I couldn't find a better pay-per-view to start off the new brand than AEW Revolution. Shipester, what was your, overall thoughts on the whole pay-per-view?
Nah, I mean, it was all right.
Oh, okay. You sound like a guy we used to hang out with a lot from Texas.
I know, right? I know. No, I mean, they delivered phenomenally. It was a hell of a show, and what a way to pick our comeback show than talking about this amazing show.
What'd you like and not like? Before we break down actual matches, was there anything that you really liked that stood out particularly? Or is there anything you didn't like that stood out particularly?
Well, I'm going to go with the didn't, and okay, it's the obvious one that's blowing up on Twitter currently as we speak. And it's kind of going to lead to like a little mini rant, I guess, from both of us.
Yeah. Got one too.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, from both of us. Because it's going to kind of lead into yours.
Okay.
What I really didn't like was the anticlimactic ending with the ring explosion at the end of the exploding barbed wire death match. I mean, it was set up brilliantly, but the execution was very lackluster. I don't know if it wasn't rehearsed long enough or what, but it reminded me of Goldberg.
Do you think maybe that had something to do with the state of Florida's like firework? I don't know. What are they called?
The firework mandates?
Yeah, for a match. Well, no, because the firework pyro they have at the start of the show is more than that would be.
That's so what I mean. I think the only thing that it let down the moment that it was supposed to be, and I think it's soured on it a little bit, not to any like major altering degree. I just think it was unfortunately anticlimactic.
Well, all right, we'll get to that when we have to break down the match. What did you really like?
Well, I liked a lot of the matches tonight had that kind of slow technical pace to them, except for, of course, the ladder match and the barbed wire death match. But they had that brilliant slow storytelling to a lot of them tonight. And, of course, me and you both love that.
Yeah. And the matches that didn't deliver.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, the only match before I get going, what would you rate the pay-per-view out of a 10?
I would give it a solid 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it was better than last year's Revolution?
No. I don't think it was better than last
year. Yeah, we give that a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, last year's Revolution was literally perfect.
Yeah.
Whether they were out of control or in control, either one, I just think there were some technicalities that definitely stopped it from being a solid 10.
Commentary being one again.
Yeah, commentary being oh my God.
That was awful again. Yeah, because I'm starting to pick up. I feel like because they're promoting Double F or Nothing as a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Then that must mean Revolution must be about the Royal Rumble, because I feel like it's always the second biggest AEW pay-per-view.
Well, and it's always got a Royale match in it. So I would definitely say that it is that, yes.
And you could tell for the most part they book it like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely booked to set up for Double or Nothing always.
So the thing I didn't like the most was the commentary. Like some point on Twitter that JR, I think, missaid the Inner Circle like 15 different times.
Yeah. Yeah.
He kept saying enter instead of enter. Like, come on, JR. And then why did he show up? He sounded like he had laryngitis or something. Say, bro,
he sounded like he had just got done a week with Cheech and Chong, bro. And
yeah, he was like stoned or something out of his mind.
I mean, it was bad, and I don't know why he. I mean, I guess on the one hand, if you look at it, I guess props to him for trying to show up and work. But on the other hand,
it didn't make it any better for him. Yeah,
but actually, it kind of made it even worse. And the commentary was already bad enough.
Yeah, I'm surprised that's still a problem. Yeah, Shivani and JR, who are two legends, you know, and Excalibur brings some decent insight. You'd think it'd be better, but it's actually not.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it doesn't have a chemistry flow to it, really.
Yeah, I thought some of the video packages were kind of lame.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, I know they're starting out, so I'm not going to ding at them. And not everybody, you know, people give WWE shit, but no one can produce hype video packages like WWE.
No.
Say what you want about Kevin Dunn or whoever does that, but there's
their editing crew is top notch.
And their camera cuts and stuff.
Yeah, their editing department makes me fucking jealous.
So one thing I didn't really like, and it wasn't the match itself, it's a Casino Battle Royal tag match. Yeah. I don't know. I just wasn't very invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought the ending was good. I think I like that kind of the run they gave Jungle Boy to the final.
Yeah.
You know, made it seems like they're high on him a little bit.
Right.
You know, seeing him and was it John Silver in the final two against Death Triangle?
Yeah.
You know, don't tell Dave John Silver to look good in that match because he hates him.
I know.
If you don't know, co-host Dave, you know, get this image in you. He's 5'5", so he's a small guy, but he hates small guys doing power moves. He absolutely hates it. So
and he
does not like John Silver.
And he wanted to be in the business at this height.
Oh, God. If he listens to this, he's going to be pissed. Oh,
of course he's going to listen to it. Hi, Dave.
So I thought that was cool. I mean, I don't know. What did you think about the QT, Marshall, Dustin Rhodes kind of thing going on there?
I kind of dig that only because it was unexpected. I didn't see it coming anyway. I'll give him that, the element. And see, that's a good way to kick off a storyline is the element of surprise. And
We're not even discussing. I mean, this is what we don't like. So there is a first match before this match. So I would rate it a 9 out of 10 like you, though.
Yeah.
I thought most players really saw. I mean, some small technicalities that probably don't put it as a 10 out of 10.
Well, like I said, and see, that's why I'm going to put it as a 9 out of 10 because whether the technicalities were able to be controlled or not, so I'm not gonna label it as one or the other. So I'm just gonna go ahead and give it a 9 out of 10.
Honestly, I think some things that ruin the pay per views for me isn't even the pay per views themselves, but the fans.
Yeah,
on like social media and stuff, like seeing these stupid takes,
like the stupidest takes,
biasy of a lot of fans.
Like the stupidity that they come up with is amazing.
So this is going to be the rant I go on. I have a rant, guys, and if you don't like it, you can turn it off. I don't care. But wrestling fans, what are we doing? Like, you know, what you and me were texting, what world do you get where you can see someone get caught in the fire like The Fiend did or have, you know, a match where it's sanctioned to get thrown into barbed wire? You
that know, explodes.
Explodes. And yet we're still here bitching about those two things from the Royal Rumble and now everyone else tonight.
Yeah.
Like, we're spoiled. And yet, we still find things to whine about.
Yeah.
I get constructive criticism, but most of the takes on Twitter aren't even constructive.
No, they're fucking terrible. They're just
biased. Like I mentioned, you know, people hated when The Fiend got caught on fire because it didn't look realistic enough.
Yeah.
What do you want? The guy to actually get, like, die?
I mean, like, so like, it's like
on fire and like explode. Like, what did you want?
No, I mean, it's like
that's AEW fans calling WWE out of that. And then tonight, You got the WWE fans bashing the fireworks that the guys were getting thrown into.
Yeah.
Kenny's face getting thrown into like a C4 satchel. You want him to blow his head off? I mean, like, I get what you're saying post-match thing, because they did hype that up, but it's like, you want, you know, Roman candles just shooting straight at their face?
Say, like, you want a whole bunch of fucking M80s blowing fingers off and shit? I mean,
come on, let's be realistic. It's pro wrestling.
You have to enjoy the art form, and I think so many people... And I think so many people have lost the ability to enjoy the art form.
Everybody's trying to be the next podcaster like we're doing. They try to be edgy. You know, it's a lot of the podcasters are doing those takes, too.
Oh, no, yeah.
Because it gives them views. You know, they don't want to enjoy things because it would ruin their brand to like something.
Yeah. It's like,
and it goes both ways. Both companies, it's just like, we got to be better as fans. Like,
I mean, because it's like... Who the
At the end of the day, what are these wrestlers doing? They're getting barbed wire? You can't, you know, make fake barbed wire. That hurts.
Yeah.
That alone hurt. Running the ring ropes hurt.
Yeah.
If you've ever run the ring ropes, they hurt. Imagine running it and then getting thrown into barbed wire. And then on top of barbed wire, you have some firework explode in your face. That's still going to cause disorientation.
And still going to burn like hell.
And then you'll have a gasoline and you'll... A small match. I mean, I don't know what was going on in that Fiend thing. But people were all upset about that, too. It's like, it's just supposed to be something that takes you out of your reality. It's not supposed to be real. You want real, watch UFC.
I mean, and it's just like, enjoy the effect or the moment that it's supposed to be created there. Don't nitpick the fuck out of it until you don't enjoy it anymore.
Wait, we don't all got to be the next Jim Cornette or Dave Meltzer or Brian Alvarez. All three of those guys suck anyway.
Yeah.
So we're like, trying to be that.
No, I mean, it's like, dude.
Just be better
on that. Just be fucking better.
I mean, you're allowed to have an opinion, but some people watch and they bitch.
Yeah, just for the sake of bitching.
They don't say anything good. You know, you say, oh, I watch for constructive criticism. No, no wrestling show has everything that sucks.
Yeah, like
some people sit there and say the whole show sucks. Every little bit of it sucks. Every... wrestling show has something going on with it. You know, so if you don't have anything good to say, at least one good thing, then you're not there for constructive criticism. You're just there to whine.
Be an asshole, pretty much.
And that's why social media, I think, kills wrestling. I'm sure we'll get some dislikes on this episode for that. And then, let's bring it to Christian.
Yep.
People are whining about that. People are all, like, lovey-dovey about him showing up at the Royal Rumble. You know, WWE fans love that.
Yeah.
AEW fans hated him being there. Oh, another legend. It's reverse roles. Oh, AEW fans are marking the hell out that he's there, and then WWE fans hate it. Guys, it's the same person!
It's like, are you a fan of the person, or are you a fan of the company that they work for? First off.
Put brand allegiance away for one moment?
I mean, if you're a fan of the man, you should be happy that he's going somewhere that'll allow him to work the full potential that he's got left.
You know, brand loyalty blinds so many people.
Obviously, WWE wasn't going to let him do his full potential that he's got left, so he jumped ship and went somewhere that did. You should be happy for him.
And I think a lot of AEW fans talked to themselves into thinking it was going to be someone bigger, too, though. Like, everyone, for some reason, thought it was going to be Batista or Brock Lesnar.
I'm like...
I don't know.
I mean, so much of that gained so much steam, and it was so ridiculous.
I guess brand loyalty, like, just annoys me. Like,
yeah.
Everyone's stances are biased. Like, what happened to the days of, you know, you can enjoy one thing and not enjoy something? You know,
well, no, I mean, hell no.
It makes no sense when you liked one thing for one show and then the same person shows up for another show and you hate it. Or vice versa. Someone shows up for a show, you hate it, and then they show up on your brand, you love it. Like, how in the world does that make sense?
It makes no fucking sense.
And it goes to the same people, too, that bash Damian Priest getting a push because he's 47, but are cheering Christian. I mean, it makes sense, too, on that. If they're good, they're good. Why does it matter?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's wrestling.
Yeah, people have lost touch with so much of just the typical enjoyment of professional wrestling.
There's a lot of things to complain about in this world. I don't know why people complain so much about pro wrestling.
I mean, pro wrestling, like, I texted you before the death match started. See, matches like this are why you love pro wrestling. Because where else can you have a match where the words C4, landmines, and explosives wrapped in barbed wire is perfectly legal? Where else can you take a pre-shot out of a flask and, like, where can you beat up your boss? Where can you, like, I mean...
Or where can you set someone on some fire? Arson's like a felony.
Yeah, like, where can you set shit on fire and get away with it? Where can you destroy a dude's truck because, like, you can? And
it's wrestling. It's not meant to be real,
guys. It's a reality escape. Enjoy it for what it is.
The storyline, the matches are, you know...
Who cares fake. What company it is? Just enjoy. If you love wrestling, just enjoy it.
When the wrestler's doing the ring's very real, but you know the barbed wire, you know, you're not supposed to actually get blown up by a ring or lit on fire. That stuff isn't. I don't know.
People expect too much nowadays.
I'm sure we'll get some flack about that. I mean, but...
hey, you can't handle the truth. You know, you can't handle the heat. Get out the kitchen.
Oh, we're not gonna sound like that. That sounds like somebody that says. His opinions are always right and everyone else is wrong. So please, you know, if you guys are like that, explain us your reasons. We're always, you know, youtube.com/BW Wrestling. We're on Twitter.
Drop it right down there below. In Twitter, Instagram, all that right down there.
Same tag for all of it. All right, let's get to the show itself. So the pre-show had, you know, I know we didn't watch it, but there was a surprise. I mean, I watched it. I don't know if you did.
No, I didn't.
But there was a surprise that was kind of cool. Reba, not Rebel, or whatever that weird line they say, is she was injured and Britt Baker had to have a surprise.
Oh, yes.
Surprise partner. And I saw you marking out about this on Twitter. That's why I'm asking you. They revealed Mackie Ito, I hope I'm saying that right, as her surprise partner. What did you think about that? Are you a fan of Mackie?
Oh my god, I love her. And she definitely is the cutest professional wrestler. She is so badass. I love her to death. I was so happy.
So, what is it, like, her singing down to the ring? Because I don't know much about her, I'm going to be honest. I thought it was cool, but, like, what's that about? Do you have any idea?
That's like her gimmick thing.
I know badass. She was on the women's tournament, but I didn't see any of her matches because I didn't watch any of them on YouTube. I watched the ones on Dynamite.
Yeah.
But all right. So up next, the start of the main card. We got the AEW Tag Team Championships to start off the show. The Young Bucks versus Jericho and MJF. What are your all-around thoughts on this match?
This match was brilliant. I loved the way that MJF and Jericho worked to the Bucks' anger with that pace that we were talking about earlier. It had that brilliant storytelling element that I think in tag team wrestling works out brilliantly like that. And they played it to the T perfectly.
So as we saw in the pre-shows, the Inner Circle attacked the Young Bucks' dad several times.
Papa Buck.
So obviously the Young Bucks are fired up in the match. So what do the Inner Circle, Jericho and MJF do? They sit there and they beat down one of the Bucks, you know, go super slow, get them even more frustrated. They isolate one of them in the corner. So the other one in the corner is just sitting there fuming, letting his anger get the hold of him. So they come in, they start throwing like 10 million punches.
Yep.
They make a mistake, and then Jericho and MJF, you know, they capitalize on it again. It's perfect. It's brilliant. You know, Hill's playing that cold, calculated strategy. It's an old pastime of professional wrestling.
And when you have a guy a vet, like a goat like Jericho leading it, and you know he's leading it, you just see that brilliance in action.
And then you had Wardlow's interference. You know, it was timely. You know, Jericho hit the juice effect on him, which helped kind of set up the Young Bucks finish. But, you know, they retained. You know, do you think that was right? I think that, you know, I didn't.
I think it was because of what happened after the match backstage. I think it was the right decision for the Bucks to retain there.
I didn't see any chance Jericho and MJF was going to win. So I just thought the match itself was pretty solid. I mean, it didn't. The results, right?
I mean, they did good. They did good having a few times in there where you thought they might.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's the suspension of belief too. Is that there was a couple of times you actually thought that they were gonna win.
So. But when they did that whole backstage thing with MJF and Jericho teasing that, what was it, the war room or the war circle or whatever, and then it's time for a change. And the way MJF looked and talked to Jericho, it was like.
I have something to say. It's going to be time for the shake up, yeah, change Inner Circle. And
teasing that they're going to kick Jericho out of the Inner Circle and start new.
Where's a face Jericho turn? That would be something.
I'll say that'd be interesting.
Wonder how that would go.
Well, you know, with Jericho booking it, it'd be great because it wouldn't be anything
he's done. Start acting better on Twitter then.
That's for damn sure.
I love Jericho. He's one of the biggest douchebags on.
Oh yeah, he's huge. He's huge douchery on Twitter.
So he might have to clean that up a little bit. But that's why people love him, I guess, because he is honest and
blunt. I mean, he's very 100% transparent, which is what you get, and you don't ask for any more brilliance than that. So
we talked about this match a little earlier when we were doing the show breakdown, but the Casino Tag Team Royale.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking you about the QT Marshall turn. Yeah. What did you think about that?
I thought I liked it because I didn't see it coming. And it wasn't anything that was hinted at. It was kind of one of those sudden moments. And I think that piques more interest than if you kind of see it coming the weeks in advance or something like that. So I'm curious to see where they go with that.
So QT Marshall, he doesn't do it for me, but it's kind of makes it interesting. May help him kind of get more of a direction.
Yeah.
You know, feuding with Dustin will make him better. I mean, Dustin still got it, and he still sells it good. So,
oh no, he'll bring it out of you. I think that'll help bring it out of him.
I just felt the match was, I don't know, it was a battle royal. It just felt like it dragged on.
Yeah. I mean, I was happy with the winners, though.
So the winners were good. I don't know. Do you like the Gun Club?
I really don't have a feeling one way or the other towards the Gun Club, personally.
Honestly, I don't know why Austin Gunn annoys me. It's weird.
He reminds me of that, like, college frat boy that knows, that's like, he's the one hosting the parties, and he knows he's like the sexy dude that all the chicks want, and he's always hosting the dorm parties, because he's like that bad dude.
I don't know. Maybe it's because when I see him in the crowd, too, on the shows, he's, like, over the top. Like, he always stands
up. Well, that's what I mean. And he's probably, like, the quarterback of, like, LSU or some shit, or Alabama or something. And
it's just, like,
yeah, he's like, that's what I mean. He's like that college frat. He's like the quarterback at Alabama, and he's just partying his ass off, and he knows it, too.
And am I missing something? But when did his brother start wrestling? When they first debuted, I thought it was just Billy and his brother is the Gun Club. I mean, I don't watch Dark every episode.
No, I didn't either. I don't know.
So I'm like, what the hell? So,
but I'm just,
you know, dragged on. The winners, you know, I enjoyed, you know, Pac and Phoenix are going to be incredible.
I'll say that's going to be the tag team match of the year contender right there.
So that'll be great. You know, the whole Jungle Boy thing, you know, them making it look like Mayhew overcome the odds kind of thing. You knew he would. But that was cool.
It was a good set.
Out of the two, between him and Luchasaurus, I didn't think Luchasaurus would be the one that would get eliminated first.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, there he was. You know, John Silver had his output, like we said. We know a guy named Dave. Don't hate that.
John Silver is one of those guys that's got it. I mean, I love watching him work. He's got, I think, the complete package.
Good, right winners. Match was okay. Not something I'll probably remember in a year from now when the next
Revolution. I'll say, we won't be talking about, we won't be comparing it to last year's, I'm sure, but
AEW Women's Championship, Shida versus Ryo, I can't say her name, even though I want. Ryo, I'm not even going to try. Anyway, what did you think about Shida versus Ryo? I know that Shida's
one of my favorite women's wrestlers in the world. I love her.
You're a massive Shida fan. I like her, too. What did you think about the match?
I thought the match was good. I thought, it had that workable pace to it, and I thought it had a good intensity to it, and I think it was represented as a good challenge for Shida. I didn't think she was going to lose. But I think it represented a good challenge for her. And then, of course, Nyla. And she's still in the picture, of course. But the match itself was solid. I thought it was really good.
I like the storytelling, because I thought they kept mentioning how Shida can never beat Ryo.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch much of the Yoshi. The Joshi wrestling in Japan. I don't watch much of that, but apparently there's a big background between those two, so it was kind of cool to see them have a match.
Yeah, they bring it over here too.
On a mainstream, you know, pay-per-view and kind of have that element to it. You know, Shida obviously won, got the upper hand, but, you know, Ryo, she's a legend, and she bought it.
Yeah, she did. It was a damn good match.
The match itself was good, you know, seeing, you know, Thunder Rosa continue her storyline, helping Shida after Nyla and stuff at Britain and attacked her. You know, that was cool to see that, you know, build up. It was kind of cool just to see the women's title finally get some good
time. Some good feel to it. Yeah, it had that deserving feel to it. Like, it had the proper time.
It's just been hard to be invested in any women's championship match on any of the pay-per-views because they don't do a great job building it up.
Right, right.
Unfortunately, I felt the same way about this match. The match was great, but unfortunately, it didn't do anything for me.
No.
You know, like, the winning was great, but, you know, all right, what's next?
Yeah, I mean,
Dynamite for 4 weeks? Like,
yeah.
So, I'm curious. I hope this, you know, the match was great and there's something to build off of. I hope they continue to do so with this, and I hope they continue to do so with Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. That's all we can hope.
Yeah, because it's actually kind of feeling like it's gaining a little momentum, so they need to keep on it.
I think the women's scene is finally starting to
slowly starting to get it a little bit, so they need to capitalize on this and continue it.
If there's one thing Tony's not done great, it's been them. So maybe he's finally getting it, because women's wrestling is important. You know, a lot of people love it. I love it. You know, and I hope they start getting the appropriate time. You know, and hopefully Taylor's a good first step. Because it seems lately there's actually storylines for the women's division.
Yeah,
finally.
Yeah, and it's actually gaining interest, which is good. So
up next, oh God. Miro and Kip Sabian versus Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor.
Excuse me if I'm sorry if I did not pay attention a whole lot during this match. I mean, this match did absolutely zero for me, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel bad for Miro. When's he gonna drop Kip Sabian?
Yeah.
Like, okay, they had a beat down backstage.
Why is
they
he
beat up? So why is he the best man? The wedding's done.
I was like, why is he still the best man?
Doesn't make sense.
I mean, okay, he was the best man. We get it. But, like, why is he still the best man?
I mean, yeah, they're finally getting that monster kind of, like, mentality. But let's drop Kip Sabian. It does nothing for Miro.
You can't take Miro seriously if he's with Kip Sabian.
But Kip Sabian's done nothing on the AEW roster since he's been there.
No, which is a shame because the guy's damn talented.
So is Penelope. But unfortunately, the way he's been booked...
Yeah, he's been booked horribly.
Lift my bottle up even though it's empty. I'm looking like Hangman Page here. But match nothing. I mean, Orange Cassidy, he went from all those feuds with Jericho to now...
this.
Just there.
Yeah, he's just there.
Took a loss. He was the... Was he the one that got pinned? I can't remember, but...
I believe so? Was it Chuck?
He wasn't even...
Chuck tapped out.
Yeah, that's right.
Chuck tapped out to the...
This match I was having... No. I mean, I was texting you during this match.
It was like... Yeah, this match didn't hit it. I think this match is one of the reasons I think it wasn't a full 10 out of 10. Also,
I give it 9. The way I'm selling, I might have to actually give it an 8. Because this match and then the...
anticlimactic ending.
That and just a casino battle royal. I think I changed my rating. I think it's about an 8.
Yeah, let's go with. I'm gonna go with an 8.5.
All right, so you're being a little nicer than I am, but
I'm gonna go with an 8.5.
I think they're finally building Miro up. So may he finally turn on Kip Sabian?
Please.
I mean, maybe I tease that because Miro is the one that pushed
and didn't show
Cassidy
any
into Penelope
and didn't show any
passion.
Yeah, so hopefully that can lead to something because there is so much potential there that's not being used.
Rusev and Miro Miro is a star. We saw that with the old Rusev thing in WWE.
Yeah,
everyone fight him, come to AEW and like tear it up.
He needs to start tearing it up.
He showed some streaks of his, you know, dominant self. So can we do something with it finally?
Yeah, please.
Have him go after the TNT title or something. Like, do that. I mean, I know we have a new number one contender for that, but
yeah.
Have him start doing something like that, please, because Miro might, at this point, Miro might just get lost in a shuffle like he was in WWE, which is...
You don't want that.
Yeah.
That's not why you came there.
I'm about to say.
Like,
up next, we got Hangman versus Big Money Matt Hardy in a Big Money match.
I mean, I'll give it to Matt Hardy. He is a constant innovator. And...
When did he become rich? I'm confused. When did he become this guy that has all this money? And
well, I guess because he's using his legend status in the business because he's been all around the world and done everything, so he's got all this money from it. And it's like he's a constant innovator, and now we've got Big Money Matt.
Oh, my God.
I mean...
Say, whose clients are the private party?
And Jack Evans.
Jack Evans.
He's like this businessman hiring all these mercenary dudes. And
it's
fucking weird. Like, I mean, I'll give him, like I said, the constant innovation, but
well, I'm glad he's working with Heyman because Heyman's a star and it seems like they don't really got much going for him right now. So it's kind of, at least Matt's
helping. At least, I guess, like,
the card.
I guess he kind of like unofficially like embraced the Dark Order because they all did the group hug.
And they helped him win. I'll say they caught him so he can build the Buckshot Lariat.
Yeah. So it's like, and it was good to see that story continuation, too.
The storytelling was good. You know, Matt hurt his arm, and he sold it the old match.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
He shot to his hand. What was it? He, like, tried to throw a punch, and he, like, hit.
Like, Hangman wrong or some shit, and it, like, fucked up his hand.
Oh, no, he missed. He missed the punch that did something to his hand. So, I mean, it was cool that he did, you know, a lot of emphasis on that. And then he, you know, was trying to work the arm on Hangman so he couldn't hit the Buckshot. So it was a nice little classic match.
And it had good story flow to it. And
you can tell it was just a match that was there to kind of give time to the bigger matches on the end of the card. But it did its job. It was a good match.
It was a good match, yeah.
So hopefully we'll see where Hangman goes next. I'm really curious where this Dark Order thing's going with him. They do got me interested on that.
Yeah, so they're playing that good. They're building that up good anyway.
All right. Up next, we got maybe the best match in the card, possibly. It's the face of the... Actually, no. When did Christian come out? I'm trying to remember.
After that match, I believe.
I remember all this. Yeah, it is.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Up next, we got the Face of the Revolution ladder match. Cody versus Penta versus Scorpio versus Lance Archer versus Max Caster versus a surprise entrant. And the surprise entrant happened to be no other than All Ego.
Ethan Page.
Did that do it for you? Was that a good surprise?
Did it for me. Because this Ethan Page is one of those guys, like, you can just tell is the embodiment of what a professional wrestler should be. I mean, he's got the personality, he's got the charisma, he's an amazing wrestler, and I think he was definitely a huge key piece of Impact's, I guess, resurgence to...
Tag team division.
Especially their tag team division.
The North was one of the best teams in the world.
I mean, I'm definitely hyped. They did a hell of a job with that one.
So, we like to throw around, like, the GOAT or something. We like to talk about people that are perfect package wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I think Ethan Page is one of them.
Yep. I 100%
very charismatic.
Agree.
Great in the ring. The pop he got, you know, there wasn't many fans. There was fans there, but it was a full-out arena, but it almost sounded like it was.
Oh, no. I mean, you couldn't tell that wasn't a full-capacity arena when that pop was nice.
And there's a moment, you know... So I like that. You know, first off, I text you. He's been a tag team guy, once again, like we said, with the North. I'm really curious to see what he does with the singles push, how he does.
Yeah, I think he'll do great. I think it's going to be a huge signing pan out for AEW.
The hype around him was big, and, you know, usually when you're over, you get somewhere in the wrestling business.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
hopefully.
I mean, I think the guy's definitely going to be in the TNT title scene, and hopefully at some point the world title scene.
I honestly thought he was going to win this match.
I'm surprised by it, but I'm not. I have no problem with it because I think Scorpio Sky's push is long overdue, and he deserves it 100%.
There was a moment before the match that was funny. Your boy and a former guest of the podcast, John Skyler, got absolutely decked.
By Lance Archer. I mean, see, John, you don't go on Twitter after your match on Dark the night before with the Murder Hawk Monster. You go on Twitter and you talk shit to the Murder Hawk Monster. Lance Archer doesn't forget these things. So he sees you standing there in your shirt that was two sizes too small for you, and he's going to deck you. You kind of set yourself up for that one, John. Sorry, bro.
We could get away with that because he was on our show, but also Alan's known John
for years. I've had the honor and privilege of talking to John Schuyler at many of the PWX wrestling shows here in the Carolinas, so I think I can say that one.
There's no disrespect intended by that.
Oh, no, most certainly none. No.
If Johnny want to explain yourself, we'll be more than happy to have back on the show.
I'll say, you think there was? Come on over, we'll talk it out. No disrespect intended, though, bro. I love everything and you're doing and all the opportunities you're getting, you and JD. I love to see it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, your PWX boys are killing it. Anthony Henry's now signed for NXT, another former guest on the show.
So, Anthony Henry is now signed to NXT. Harlem Bravado's in NXT. JD's becoming a regular on Dark. John Schuyler's a regular with AEW. And PWX is killing it.
Support your local indie wrestling because you see what it produces.
You never know where the talent at your indie promotion may go. And it's cool that at indie shows you get to talk to them, meet them, get to know them a little bit. And then when you see them get those opportunities, you can be like, you know, I used to stand there at my local, you know, armory and talk to him or her. And it's like, there they are. It's such a cool thing, I think.
Tell you what, so when the world decides it wants to open again and this COVID thing goes away, make sure to go to some indie shows. It really is worth it. So the match itself, did you enjoy it? I thought there was a lot of cool spots.
Oh, no. I mean, the match had an amazing pace to it, and it had a lot of awesome spots in it, and the chemistry was great. Sorry, had to do it.
The Kane Destroyer by Penta to Cody on top of the ladder was awesome, you know.
I kind of like marked for that because I love that. That's one of my favorite moves in professional wrestling.
And it's severely overdone.
And it is very severely overdone. But when it's done in a moment like that, I thought it was badass.
I don't think when Pete Williams started doing it, he was going to expect everybody to do it 10 times a match.
No.
I mean, I'm not sure if he's the one that created it. I just know that's the guy I remember doing it.
No, it's like, it's one of those things. It's one of my favorite moves, but unfortunately when you say that, it's like people are like, oh, you like one of the most overhyped moves and overrated moves in wrestling. And
it's kind of cool seeing Jake Roberts take a bump.
Yeah, that was awesome. Just
how healthy he is. It's nice to see how he's gotten so healthy. And
especially after his COVID scare that he's doing that was awesome.
And Ethan Page, putting Archer underneath the ladder and just taking and slamming it, great use of a ladder. Yeah. And I think he slammed Scorpio Kai on top of it.
Yeah,
so that was cool.
that was a good play to like taking down the big man angle.
Cody, I honestly was scared to death after he left he was going to come win because I like Cody. I don't want to see him get a title shot.
Oh, no. Like, legitimately, Cody Rhodes was the only one in that match I did not want to win. I didn't care anybody else won it as long as he didn't.
No disrespect to Cody.
Oh, no. Good, of course not. He's been
the TNT title consistently for, like, 2 years now.
Well, he didn't need it. He in no way, shape, or form needed it, so...
This frog splash from, was it Caster?
Yeah.
Off the top ladder, or was it Sky? It was pretty cool. I mean,
I think it was Sky.
So they had all the cool big spots. You know, I like the winner.
Yeah.
I want Paige to win, but I'm 100% okay with Scorpio Sky winning.
You know? Yeah, I can't wait to see how he takes his opportunity of his singles push.
I love the, you know, West Coast connection. SCU! So we'll see where he goes. He has, you know, great wrestler, great personality. I think now that they're finally giving him an opportunity, he grabbed a brass ring, which looked like a toilet bowl.
It looked like one of those donuts that you sit on when you got ass problems.
Kids, if you want to know what a sexual donut is,
no, it's not a sexual donut, you idiot. Don't tell them to go look up that. God.
Okay, don't look that up.
If you want to know, if you want to know what, no. If you want to know what a medical donut is, look up medical donut. Do not take this dumbass's advice and look up sexual donut, or you will regret it. Oh my God!
Until advisory on our show, so we get taken down on YouTube.
Holy shit! That almost made me cry laughing. Oh my God!
Anyway, good match, good winner. I liked it. You know, good surprise return. They delivered on that.
Yep.
Speaking of surprise debuts, so I said return. Surprise debuts with Paige. Another surprise debut is the one that's been going around gaining traction all week on Twitter. It was a talk of the wrestling world for last week. Was the one and only Christian Cage is now All Elite. Did that do it for you? Was that up to the hype? Did you not like it? Did you like it?
I wouldn't say like it lived up to the oh my god earth shattering hype that like people were making it out to be, but I think it's huge because I think obviously if WWE wasn't going to let him do what obviously he's capable of doing, then come to the company that will. And it's another veteran mind that I think is going to help lead the company in a right direction. And you definitely can't say he's not Hall of Fame caliber. Now, granted, he'll never get into that other Hall of Fame, but he wasn't going to get in anyway. So, I mean, if he knows that he's got something left in the tank for a couple more years, then he jumps ship to the place that's going to let him showcase what he's got, and he can help it grow.
What a 360, though. He literally just worked the Royal Rumble. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's going to reunite with Edge.
Yeah.
He's got one good WWE run, one last one. And all of a sudden, 2 months later, not even 2 months, a month and a half later, here he is in AEW.
Yeah, and here, I mean, I'm glad he got to have the moment with Edge with the hug and all that. I'm glad he got to have that. But obviously, he's got something in the tank that WWE was not going to let him do. And he obviously knows he can do more and wants to do more, so I think it's big. I'm excited.
So who knew the hug was a farewell?
Yeah, obviously it was. And
that was a reunion, but now it was a farewell, I guess.
I think it's one of those things where I'm curious to see how they book him and what they do with him, because you don't want to push him too far too quick because that would look too bad. But I'm interested to see what how they book him.
That he was only wrestled once in like 7 years. I was in a Royal Rumble, so you don't want to push him too far out the gate.
Right. I'm curious to see his booking, but I think it's a big one. I'm happy with it. I definitely don't feel disappointed by any means.
He had a great TNA run, legendary TNA run when he left WWE the first time. So.
And speaking of TNA, we have to give a huge shout out to Mikey Rukus for the way that he redid that theme song for Christian, because it sounded so damn good.
Yeah, it was good. Perfect song. The countdown was great. The pop he got when he came out was great. Once again, you wouldn't have thought there wasn't a packed arena with that.
I think he'll be a nice. I think right out of the gate, I think maybe the TNT title picture wouldn't be a bad place for him.
See, so. The thing is, I thought he was a big thing. All the fans talked themselves into thinking that a guy like Lesnar and stuff was going to be there. Like, what?
Well, I mean, it's like...
AEW never even said that.
Well, I mean, and it's like, what more do you want? I mean...
Lesnar, John Cena, all these other guys, you're talking yourself into thinking weren't going to
be
there.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think it's going to be? Like, fucking CM Punk or something? I mean...
No, people thought it.
Dumbasses.
Say, but, I thought it was great. People are disappointed. The ones that talked himself into
you overhyped that was yourself. Never happen. I mean, yeah, like you overhyped yourself, and there has to be a line within it where you want to get hyped because it's exciting, but also you don't want to get to the point where it's like the excitement doesn't live up to your expectation because you created a false expectation.
This does a lot more for me than Paul White. That's for sure.
That's for damn sure.
So I love Christian. Big show. I could give.
Oh yeah, Christian is an all-time favorite. Definitely, I love the guy, and
Paul White.
Paul White. Paul White pretty much was my what might as well be Snow White to me, because I don't give a shit about either one of them.
Piss break.
I mean,
no offense to Big Show.
I mean, no offense, but
done a lot of good things in the business, but
yeah, respect him in the business, but doesn't do anything for me personally.
I'm gonna let you take this. I'm gonna let you take the lead on this next match, because you said it was one of your favorite matches of all time.
Actually, it is my favorite cinematic match of all time.
Sting and Darby versus Cage and Ricky Starks, Team Taz. Take it away. I'm gonna let you explain why it's your favorite of all time and what you fought.
Well, for me, this match was pretty much a scene out of one of my top five favorite movies of all time. And I think a lot of people know it. I know you won't, because it's you. So I know
just name
you,
the movie.
I know you won't. But The Crow. And
don't know.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't know. But a lot of people will know, and I think this match felt like a scene ripped right out of that movie. And the special effects that they pulled off in this match, it had that gritty, like, vigilante thriller type beat 'em up movie, like The Punisher, like The Crow. And if to me, it felt like The Crow the whole time. And that, I thought that homage, I don't know if that's what it was, but it sure as hell felt like it. If that was what they were trying to pull off there, but it was so badass the way they did it, and the things that they pulled off in that match, and the angles that they used was a piece of filmmaking brilliance.
Yeah. And it was good for Sting. He didn't take too much serious damage. Well,
I think Sting came out and said to anybody who thinks he still doesn't have it, hold my beer. I mean, he looked good.
Do you think the commentary the whole match ruined it? I know some people said that the commentary the whole time was bad.
I thought the commentary was absolutely 100% not needed in that match.
And Taz, I guess, being commentary was cool.
I think I know why they had it, because Taz was barred from being there at the undisclosed location. Yeah. So I know why he had to be. So I know why they had to have commentary. I'm not saying that. I just think it wasn't needed, because the match itself played out this beautiful story of just this gritty underground street fight violence. Like, it felt like, I don't know, it kind of had a little bit of feeling of Fight Club in it too. And the way that they blended all of these cult classic films, especially I might be going far out in left field. That might not even be the movie they were trying to pull off here. But
did Sting kind of go by The Crow in WCW?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're onto something.
Because, I mean, the homage to The Crow movie, I mean, it was absolutely, like I said, now I'm going to asterisk it because I might be wrong, but that's what it felt like to me, and that's why I love this match so much, because I love that movie. And it just eclipsed what a cinematic match should be. And the spots that they used and the storytelling in it was absolutely brilliant.
See, I liked it. I don't have the personal connection you have with it, but it was a good match, good way to showcase Sting without having to have to do too much. You know, kind of a cool way to overcome the odds with, you know, Hobbs and what's the other guy's name? Hook, you know, interfering, you know.
Yeah.
Beating down Darby and, you know, Sting by himself for a bit. You know, that spot where Sting was down to them and Darby threw the bat through a window and he caught it perfectly. Like,
yeah.
Reminded me of some like Star Wars thing.
Well, that's what I mean. It had like that underground fight feel of, like, you know, the bad guys overpowering the good guys, and then all of a sudden the one good guy throws the weapon that's needed, and it was perfect. I thought it was, for me, my pick for match of the night.
I don't know why, it just reminded me of when R2 shot the lightsaber to Luke when he was standing up on that platform when they were going through the desert to throw him through the pit. It reminded me of that for some reason. I don't know why. Weird comparison, but good match. I enjoyed it. I think it showcased Sting enough without him taking too much damage.
It was good. It showcased that he can still do it when he needs to do it. Without doing too much to overdo it.
Absolutely.
And Darby Allin, damn it, can just take an ass whipping like nobody else.
Can he take more than Moxley that we're about to get to, though?
I absolutely love Darby Allin. That dude is so badass.
That dude can bump like no other.
Oh, hell
he
yeah.
Signs up for so much punishment. I don't get how he does it. No, especially how scrawny he is.
No, like, he's the man. He is absolutely the man.
Leading into the AEW World Championship Explosive Barbed Wire Death Match, who do you think takes more punishment in their matches, Mox or Darby?
Darby, only because he does it like every match. Like
Mox
matches like this when they come along though, Mox, because Mox in matches like this, good lord.
He took a beating.
I mean, it was brutal. It was everything that it was billed to be, legitimately, and it was so damn good.
I just feel bad for Renee, who's so pregnant. She was back there watching it. I know she's tweeted before she hates watching her
and she was not only
matches like this.
And she was not only watching it, she was there watching it.
Oh, and God. Hopefully she didn't have the baby Mox in the back. That might have been awkward.
Oh, damn.
Was there anything that stood out in this match? I know you didn't like the ending fireworks after the match. Was there anything that stood out that you liked a lot?
I mean, I liked the brutality that they used in this match because it told the story that needed to be told. And death matches for me are a personal favorite, but also I don't like them to be overdone.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was needed in this situation because of the story that these two have told together.
How do you write Mox off?
And how do you write Mox off other than a crazy ass match like this? Because Mox isn't going to go out after a 3-on-1 beatdown or something. That's not believable.
But he's his whole character's built off being a tough SOB that doesn't stay down on anything.
Like,
so
has no pain.
Him losing a match or a 3-on-1 beatdown wouldn't write him off. So they had to have a match like this to write him off so he could spend time with his kid whenever it's born. That's what, like, I think this was building up to.
Yeah,
much.
Like, this was his pretty much his write off to go have his time off. And it's like, how do you do that with Jon Moxley other than a crazy ass exploding barbed wire death match?
And you know, a lot of the spots were cool. I mean,
oh no,
does hit me? So Kenny hit the one winged angel, but Mox took his foot to make the thing blow up and that ruined the pin. Does that count as him kicking out of the one winged angel and the first person to ever do it?
Yes.
Do you think?
Yes.
That was
because,
creative. Took
yes, because because he kicked out of the pin technically because he broke the pin, so he broke the count. So yes, he's the first person to kick out of the one winged angel. But he did it in the most, you got to say, if you're going to have somebody kick out of the one-winged angel for the first time, you need a clever way to do it. And what a clever-ass way it was to trigger an explosion with your foot.
It's the first time in AEW.
I think it's been kicked out of in Japan before. I'm pretty sure Okada did it.
Well, I think Ibushi did it.
I say Ibushi did it too, I believe.
Kota.
Yeah.
So that and then the paradigm shift through the barbed wire table outside was really cool.
And I just like the way they sold that they were gonna beat each other down literally to the explosive death, pretty much.
They had a lot of the explosives go off. I mean, yeah, did they take someone's arm off like people are wanting? No, but I mean,
like,
still.
And see, that's the thing, is like, as disappointing as the post-show fireworks were supposed to be the ring blowing up. I mean, you can't nitpick matches like this, as good as this, with a fine-tooth comb until you absolutely hate it. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people do is, I mean, they sold it, and my God, props to Eddie Kingston for selling the shit out of that. And they did what they did, and they put on the show for us, and it was brilliant. But yet you nitpick it with a fine tooth comb until you hate it. There was nothing to hate about that match at all.
Well, unless you're not into death matches in general. Well, but if you're a death match fan, then there really was nothing to hate.
I mean, yeah, and I think it sucks because as good as the match was, unfortunately, it's going to be only talked about for the lame ass explosion afterwards, which is unfortunate because the match itself was amazing.
Yeah, because they kept building up that 30-minute explosion the whole match. I could see why people.
I mean, I think personally it was about as damn close to a 5-star match as you can get. I don't say it was a 5-star, but about as damn close.
And then, you know, them selling the effects, you know, the disorientation from the explosions, you know, Kenny asking for water to be thrown on him. Like,
when they hit the ropes and it explodes, and you know, selling that shock and burn, and I mean, it was brilliant. I thought it was brilliant.
Mox had a pretty good blade job. He was pretty bad when he first opened up.
Oh yeah, he did a hell of a job. It was beautiful.
And Kenny's back. Tell people wrestling's fake. Did you see his back, how bloody that was? You can't. No one took a piece of metal and cut his back with it. That was all the barbed wire.
All those lacerations. That was 100% ripped open skin.
So I liked it. I think it lived up to the hype. You said, the ring explosion. If that ruined the match for you, I'm sorry. I guess.
I'm sorry. Like, I mean, yes, it was disappointing. I'm not saying it wasn't.
They kept building up like it was going to be this big
thing. I say they had the hype like it was going to be this huge, like, bang, 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 you know, thing. But I don't think it ruined what a good match that it actually was.
Yeah. So, all around, good pay-per-view. Yeah, you know, good way to bring back the rebrand. And hopefully me and co-host Dave, you know, Alan Shipes, if you can, are going to start doing weekly reviews and hopefully some interviews and get some reps in. So hopefully our next episode after this one's up will be next Friday night or Saturday. We look forward to it. We look forward to connecting with you guys again. And stay going, my friends.
Deuces.